League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the award-winning Dear Lovejoy podcast. This is an advice podcast where I will answer all of your life's problems. If there is a problem, I will solve it. Blah, 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 blah. Why my DJ revolves it. Lyrics from a song. More proof here that you can never be too careful taking advice off me, listening to me. Dress it up any way you want. But if you're taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter. It is a silly idea. Mark is here to keep me in check. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Tim. Hi, everyone.
Oh, on this week's podcast, we're discussing dating profiles, eating at Christmas, sickness, and various other things. Thank you, first of all. A growing number of listeners joining our community. Your comments are ace. Really enjoyed so much feedback on Reverend Richard Coles. People seem to really enjoy that conversation. He was lovely, and it seems to have really hit home, that one. So thank you very much for listening to that, and thanks, obviously, for the feedback on it. Again, we keep getting people ask how we're making money. We're not. It's actually costing us money to do. We do love it, though. And that's kind of the reason why we're doing it, is because we really enjoy doing it. It's the reason why we started. I remember that back in those heady days, Mark, where we had a cup of coffee and said, we should do a podcast. And that was it. And now we're doing it. I think the plan is one day we'll try and find a sponsor who wants to get involved with us. I think that's the plan. I think it is. We're sort of reluctant to go down the advertising route at the moment because, I don't know, it just doesn't seem right.
And it would have to be something that fitted the brand, like Regain or sort of Zimmer Frames or something like that, something that would suit me and you.
That's for sponsorship, but advertising, you know, when people just run advertising all over it, it's like, oh, I don't know, it's not really what we want to do at the moment, but we don't know what we're doing. We really don't. But I think we're going to try and find a sponsor. If anyone out there wants to sponsor us and get involved, you can. But neither of us are great salesmen, I imagine.
No, I mean, you know, just us selling the podcast just now isn't great, is it?
I tell you, it's
with your blah, 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 DJ revolves it.
I think it's Ice Ice Baby. I think it's, I never learn lyrics to songs. I just learn them as blah, blah, blah. I pick up a couple of words.
I used to do that whole rap.
Did you? Oh, go on, see if you can do a section.
I used to be, you remember the Unbelievable rap, the EMF one? I used to be able to do the whole of that as well.
Why?
Because I loved those songs when I was younger.
All right, go on then. Give us a bit of one of them.
EMF, I could probably still do.
Go on, give us a bit of it.
It goes, seemingly last us don't mean you can ask us, pushing down the relative, bringing up your higher self, thinking of fine times, pushing down the better few instead of bringing out just a what, the world, and everything you ask to grace yourself with the grace of ease. I know this world ain't what it seems. What the funk was that? It's unbelievable.
Oh, well done. Well, I say well done.
I mean, it was
the intonation was all over the place.
Oh, come on.
It was poor.
All right,
come
Simon,
on.
Simon Cowell.
Well, you know, it was. That's not going to make it into a studio, is it? And that's not going to make it onto...
Well, you didn't give me a human beatbox, so I couldn't do it.
True. Anyway, neither of us are great salesmen, so I imagine what happens with this is it either just carries on going for free forever, or one day it just... I don't know, peters out. I don't think it will, though. I love doing it, and Mark loves doing it, and you seem to enjoy doing it. So, but sales is not... sales was never my strong point. I've done sales twice. First of all, I worked in a clothes shop, and do you know what? I enjoyed that job. I worked out after a while, because whenever you get a job, you've got to work out what it's about, obviously, and I worked out it was about agreeing with people. So they would come in, and all they really want from a... generally what they want from a sales assistant in a clothes shop is them to go, you look good. So when they put the top on and they go, do you think this one or that one? And you go, what are you thinking? And they go, the blue one. You go, I think the blue one as well. That's what they want. They just, they kind of know what they want.
But did you ever tell anyone they look bad in it? Because you're quite an honest person. Did you ever go, oh no, that really, that, does not look good.
No, because what I think is good, I mean, I would sometimes say choose the right size for them.
Okay. But that's a more subtle way of doing it.
Yeah, but even then, it's like they kind of know what they want. Yeah. And I think generally, I found there was a few customers who used to come in who clueless had just dressed me. And you go, try this, 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 and this. But generally, I think...
Was it a high-end place, or was it...
It was called the Q Shop. It was the Young Man's Austin Reed when I did it. It's kind of had sort of a lot of suits and stuff in it, but also a lot of more fashion stuff as well. I suppose... I was trying to think who our competitor was, but it was on Watford High Street. So I really enjoyed it because you become part of the community when you're in a clothes shop, and you just, I don't know, I kind of like clothes as well, so I like doing it. But yeah.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Have you done any drunken podcasts that I don't know about?
Why?
Because this pop shield smells of wine.
No. No, I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
I also did sales in mortgages as well, and I didn't enjoy that at all.
Yeah, but that's a less sort of sexy thing to sell, isn't it? It's more important, obviously.
I was a bit useless at it. I cared about the people, but I didn't care about the mortgages. And I think that's the problem with clothes. I kind of cared about the clothes and cared about people looking good. With mortgages, I didn't really care about money. And so I wasn't very successful at it. I could do it. And I knew how to sell them and all that sort of stuff. But I just felt it was, I don't know, and I felt people really overstretching themselves often. And I used to sit there with people. I mean, kind of a precursor to this podcast when I was a young man. I'd say, do you really want to have no money left to go out? Yeah. Surely that can't be your life. People just used to stretch themselves. The idea is, I've got to own a house. Mm. I was like, and I used to say to people sometimes, you're in your early 20s and you're going to have, because we used to work out all their money. And then I go, you've got sort of like, £20 left for the month to go out. Surely you want to go out and do stuff. You know, life's for living as well as owning a house. They're like, no, we'd be fine just for a few years. And I always wondered whether they'd manage to carry on doing that. But I didn't like money enough. I worked with people who loved money and they were really successful at it because they just used to go and show me their figures all the time. Look how much money I've earned. Look how much money I've generated. Yeah. Says, money, 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 money. I just used to find it really weird. It's like... I don't know. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I like money as much as the next person. You know, you need it to buy stuff. But some people are obsessed with it. They become...
I'm a rubbish salesman.
Have you ever done it?
Well, salesman in the sense that I've worked part-time at my cousin's estate agents. So
selling houses. Did you sell any?
Not a single one.
When you're a young man, though, growing up, there's a few things you have to do. You have to be a good drinker. I'm a rubbish drinker. It's just such a stupid thing to do as well. I'm a good drinker is not something to be proud of. I'm a really good driver. No, you're not. You drive around on the streets. It's nonsense. And what's the other one? Oh, I'm good sales. Yeah, I'm good. That's when we were growing up. Good, really good. I could sell anything.
I've got the gift of the gab.
Yeah, I've got the gift of the gab. I realise I'm an awful salesman.
I used to let them in. My cousin hopefully doesn't listen to this, so they'll never know. I used to let them in and go... I'm not going to bother you. You're going to have a look around. And let me know if you've got any questions.
That's terrible. That is terrible. Mark, that's very poor. Hi, Tim and Mark, says Michelle. My colleague Daniel and I have listened to your podcast in our office trying to make the boring working day go quicker. I wonder if it worked or not. Dan has a great life hack he wanted to share with you. Why didn't Dan write in then, Michelle? If you have an unripe avocado that you want to eat, put it in a sandwich bag with a banana and it will ripen much quicker. In the same way that you shouldn't keep bananas with other fruit as they will ripen too quickly. Do you know why this is, Mark? It's due to the release of...
Potassium, is it? Something like that?
No, ethylene gas from the banana.
So they don't release potassium, do they? That was a
stupid
thing.
No, that's what you eat, isn't it, banana? Yeah. The potassium's in the banana. Hope it gets read out on your next podcast or even sent a certificate if Mark gets around to sending them. How are the certificates going, Mark?
They're with you, Tim, as you know, as you very well know.
Okay, they're not with me at all. Mark's just given up on them. So sorry, everyone out there waiting for certificates. It's just not going to... He had one job. should we get on with some problems, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, the first one comes from Julian, who says, and I like this one, this is just one which came across on Twitter, actually. It just says, why do I bother?
Oh.
And I really like that one because often you sit there and think, well, what's it all about? Why do I bother?
What is the point?
I've just started listening to a podcast, actually, on There Is No Point of Life, and... it's kind of quite,
I don't need to hear that right now.
It's quite a deep one. the theory is we shouldn't really be bringing more life into the world at the moment because it's not a great place to be. But I didn't get very far in it. I can't talk about it because I don't really know. I listened to the first 5 minutes. I'll get back to you when I've listened to more of it. Anyway, I think we forget that life would be boring if it didn't have ups and downs. I think that's what you took. Ups and downs are interesting, and I think we just forget that sometimes, and I think that's why we should bother with life. I think life is quite interesting. I think if you think life was going to be great all the time, it's never going to happen. Just life is not like that. The best thing you can do, I think, every day is wake up and realize life is amazing, but also realize that that bad stuff's going to happen. And life is not fair. And if you wake up every day thinking that, you've got half a chance of getting through the day without feeling miserable. Life is definitely not fair. That's the one thing. I hear this all the time from people saying, my kids have started doing it. It's just not fair. And I go, yeah, no, it isn't. Life is just not fair. Things aren't fair. And it's the one thing I learned years ago is you got to, well, as soon as you realize, especially working, once you get into your work life and people get promoted up from you or they get the job that you want, you think that's not fair. No, nothing is fair. Learn that life lesson. But life is dramatic as well. And I think that's exciting. Who is it we had on the podcast recently? Stephen Tompkinson. Was it the one I said, why do we watch all these miserable
things? Oh, yes, that's
things?
Right, yes. Because you were going through a bit of a crisis of why do we entertain ourselves?
Yeah, why do we watch all that stuff? Why do we go into Netflix and watch it all? Why do we make ourselves miserable? And he sort of said it's because we can get all those feelings. Didn't he? He said we like to make ourselves feel good by looking at how bad other stuff can get.
Was it that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was something a bit deeper. Well, because it was quite profound. Because you went, oh, okay, now I get it now.
Yeah. It was. It's because we can look in on other people's lives and their lives are horrific and makes us feel a bit better about ourselves, maybe.
Voyeurism. He used the word voyeurism. And the word vicariously, I think.
Have you watched anything on Netflix recently? You made me watch. Is it Mindhunter?
Yes. I was going to say.
Did.
I was going to pick you up on that. I made you.
You did make me watch it, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was quite
season 2's
good.
Just been picked up. I'm excited.
Been picked up. What does that mean?
They're do another one. Yeah, do another season.
Yeah, I didn't. Where did it go though? It didn't really go anywhere, did it? In the end, did it?
I liked it. I'm looking forward.
It was all right. It was all right. Yeah.
Well, so I watched Godless.
I think we should have a sort of benchmark as.
Okay. Go on.
Breaking Bad. I mean, I know you think Sopranos is the best thing, better than Autumn. Apparently, Sopranos.
And Snow.
But I've never watched Sopranos, so we can't use that. But we both watched Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And so I think.
Okay, not as good as Breaking Bad then.
Not no.
Yeah, but that's going to be. I mean, that's kind of unfair on everything.
Well, I don't know. We're going to find something like. Ozark, very good.
Very good. But
not quite Breaking Bad. Very similar sort of theme, I thought.
Yeah.
But not quite there. This wasn't quite as good as Ozark Mindhunter, do you think?
No.
Right, so there we go. We're starting to get a list now. Yeah. Work it out.
But it's a little unfair to compare things to other things, I think, sometimes, isn't it? No, all right.
It is, but I remember getting really excited. See, this is the problem with Netflix, isn't it? You start getting excited about episodes, and you go, you're out, and you think, I could just actually go home.
I'd be so much better to go home.
Just watch it. And it sort of becomes like you have a sort of relationship with the series, don't you? So, I mean, with Game of Thrones, for me, it was amazing, because I hadn't watched any of it until about, how many series of that have there been?
Oh,
did you watch it?
No.
Oh.
I've tried a couple of times.
And again.
I'm sort of getting into it, but then there's other stuff that comes up. I'll be honest, I really enjoyed The Crown.
I've not watched it.
And that's up now on Netflix. So yeah,
I think I might start watching that because
it's very, very gentle. You know, like Sunday afternoon, like a day like today when it's freezing cold, and you just go, oh, be nice. Cup of tea and The Crown.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, a biscuit.
Yeah. I just worry about The Crown, that it's anything which is set in the past, I'm not that happy about. I don't like it, really. I like the stuff set now.
Right.
So what have you seen?
Godless.
What's that about then?
Well, it's a Western.
Yeah.
And it's been sort of called a feminist Western, which I think is slightly
Who's called it that? The reviewers?
Critics.
Critics? Okay.
Because... there's a lot of women in it. Right. And that, doesn't that sort of make you go, well, isn't so women's football is like feminist football? It doesn't really make any sense, does
it?
Yeah,
no.
It's sort of, it's a silly thing. Basically, the town, their town had a big mining disaster. All the men died. So the town's run by women. But then there's a couple of men that come in who cause trouble. It's really good. You don't like Western stuff, though, I expect.
Oh, well, why are you saying that? Why are you saying I don't like Western?
Because you don't like
Westerns?
Stuff in the past.
Yeah, Western's isn't it?
Which is
Western's
a genre. Yeah, that's, I was just picking up. I was just listening to what you'd said about 5 seconds ago.
Well, I don't like costume dramas, really, and all that sort of stuff. But Westerns are slightly different.
Okay.
There's not been any Westerns for years. As I say, Tarantino does them, I suppose. And
I didn't like that one. But True Grip recently, that was good.
I didn't watch it.
So that's very good.
Was it?
Very good.
Okay. So I'm just imagining here, like, tell me if I've got this right. So the community's broken down. All the men have died.
Yeah. Apart from one who survived, who's gone a bit.
Don't give it away. No spoilers, please.
No, he's right in the first series. He's right in the first episode.
Okay. So you've got all these women. Now, do the writers do the cliche thing of turning the women into men?
No.
As in how men would be. So they've got
not at all.
Who's gone men, who's like, you know, they're suddenly becoming aggressive like men would be. Or
no, it's actually pretty well done, I would say.
Oh, okay, right. I'm intrigued now. Shall I watch it? How close is it to Breaking Bad?
Oh, it's, you know,
miles away.
Yeah,
miles away. Ozark.
It's between sort of on Mindhunter level.
Mindhunter level. All right. Okay. I'll give that a go. Have you ever gone to Amazon Prime?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
There's too much on Netflix. I can't keep up. I need more eyes.
Yeah. It's true, though. I have tried a few Netflix series. I'm not going to say which ones. It's not fair. But I've started a few that I've just thought, oh, I can't be bothered with. Yeah, it's just too much. Dirk Thingy was the word.
Dirk Gently.
Yeah. Did you try that?
No.
I tried it and I gave up. What was the other one I tried? Oh, the other one was The Crown.
You did try The Crown.
Yeah, I did. I watched one episode and then thought, but I need to go back now.
Yeah.
I was doing something whilst I was watching it. You know, it was one of those. I mean, what were we talking about before we got interrupted, rudely interrupted by Netflix? We were talking about ups and downs. Yeah. So look, you got in life, right? Realize you're doing something and then something horrific is going to happen to you. If you know that when you're in your day, that nothing's going to go smoothly, then you're fine because that is life and that's how it works. I mean, you could be having a nice day and your friend breaks something you like maybe a neon light or something. It's not your fault. Stuff happens. You get miserable about it.
So we're not over that now, still.
I don't know what's got to do with you. I'm just saying, this is an example.
This is one of our listeners. This is a very hypothetical example, is it? Sorry, hypothetical. Sorry, I meant.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So one of our listeners might have spent a lot of money on a neon light. And which they really, really like. They got it commissioned, and then their mate smashed it, broke it. It's costing them a fortune to fix.
Did they do it on purpose, Tim?
Pardon? No, that's what I'm saying. It's in this hypothetical world. Not their fault, but it's broken. You've just got to get on with life. That's what happens, and you can't keep talking about it over and over again. You just got to get on.
I mean, say if they did a podcast, would they keep bringing it up?
I don't know. Maybe they would. Anyway,
is it something that we could possibly look forward to?
As humans, right, our lives are better than most creatures. You've got to remember that. Most creatures spend a lot of their time trying not to be eaten. Even if you're king of the jungle, you get some stupid, ridiculous American dentist try and lob your head off or shoot you or whatever to as a trophy and tell you take it back to the country. I don't know. I've said this before loads of times on the podcast, but I'm going to repeat it again because it's really good. I spoke to that Buddhist monk, Haiman Suman, I can't quite quote him exactly, but what he was saying was, I said to him, do you still get the feelings of jealousy, envy, anger?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, I do, but I enjoy them. And I think that's what life's about, as you go through life and you get all these feelings. So when he says...
I don't understand that. When you get the enjoy the feeling of jealousy, what does that mean?
It sounds
like a good thing to say, but
yeah.
How practically do you do that?
Because what you do is you observe yourself going through those feelings.
So rather observe it than enjoy it.
Well, no, you do enjoy it. When I gave up smoking, I had cigarette pangs And the, you know, I talk about the big switch you press where your mind switches. And when the pangs used to happen, I used to think, yeah, you're doing the pangs because I'm beating you. And I used to start enjoying the pangs. I sort of missed them when they went away. And I just would never contemplate smoking another cigarette now because I enjoyed all that, the process of it ending and that I was beating it. And I suppose that's the, when you see yourself jealous, you sort of go, hey, I'm jealous. This is, or envy or anger. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going through.
And if you can, I think enjoy is a bit strong. I think observe is better.
Okay, observe. Observing it, though, once you realise you're observing it and you get comfortable with observing it, you start to enjoy it, trust me. That was Julian anyway, Julian. That's why you should bother. On to Luke, who says this week, need a funny Tinder bio, got anything? And I just thought to myself, Christ, writing a Tinder profile must be really hard. Do you have to make it funny? I wonder if that's the idea that everyone, because, you know, girls always say, or ladies always say, I like a man with a good sense of humour. Do men say that about women? I suppose they do as well, don't they? You need a good sense of humour. So the first thing you do is try and write something funny. And then you can't really write comedy, can you? Like in a biog.
No.
It can come across bad. It's a sales job. Again, we're talking about sales. I think writing your Tinder bio, biog is a sales job. It's like you're trying to sell a chest of drawers in the local paper, or you're trying to sell your old BMX on eBay. You've got to tell people why they need your product. You know, only one owner. That's can that come into? I wonder if you could do that. Actually, discuss how many sexual partners you have. Am I going down a bad route here? I don't know whether I am or not. You know, you put your.
I'm just letting you go with this one, Tim. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to sit back and
it could be a selling
watch
point.
Watch you unravel.
Could be a selling point, right? Say you're set, I'm really going to regret saying this, so this might get edited out.
Leave a nice gap.
Okay.
I can't cut giggling.
You have to crash edit. Right, say you're 26 years old, and you're, let's not be sexist, so you're a man, you're 26 year old, and you've been going out with the same girl since school. So you've only had one owner, sort of thing, don't we?
Yep.
And you put it there, and you say, sort of, that's it. I've only had one partner. And women cruising round, look at cruising. That's
cruising.
The right word. Women looking at the profiles, they might go, "Oh, I like him. He's only had one owner, sort of thing. I've only got to deal with one ex, one sort of skeleton in the closet." One person. Do you think how people would work? Do you think that should be one of the things?
I think it's a thing that you use if it's a selling point. For example, if you were selling a car, you would say 10 really hazardous owners, would you?
Yeah.
You'd say one owner, but if you had 10, you wouldn't mention it.
Oh, no. So if you say you've been prolific, right? You're the 26-year-old guy. You've been prolific at school. You've been prolific in your local area. You've been prolific at university. Post-school, probably. Sorry. Edit that out.
You've already given me too much editing.
So, yeah, you're prolific, right? And you've racked up. You're one of those amazing stud-like people, and you've racked up 50 different partners. You could maybe say, you could spin it and say, experienced lover. How about that?
That makes you sound like you're from the 80s.
Experienced. And then the ladies cruising around might think to themselves,
making it sound like an 80s aftershave advert.
he knows what he's doing, this fella.
Yeah, or he's probably got a disease.
Oh, good point. I wonder if you should put that on there. Only practice safe. Should we move on to it a bit? Right, so I asked on Twitter, actually, for some good advice. Gazza T said, I met my other half on a dating website 10 years ago next May. So if anyone needs a testament that they work, then we are it. Actually, one of my friends has met his girlfriend on a dating app site, and they're so in love. So it definitely works. It's just, you know, I just think it's pretty rare. I reckon, what do you reckon? I'd love to know the numbers of people, one in 20, one in 50.
But, you know,
I don't know.
You know, how successful is speed dating, or was speed dating? You know, it's just another form of unsuccessful.
Told you, I don't like costume dramas. I don't like going back into the past.
I was actually going to mention, because one of our podcast guests kept bringing up really old... Do you remember? Robert Holden.
It's not been out yet.
I don't know if it's been out yet, no. But when you come out, watch it. Tim finds his old school references. Yeah. What was one of them? There was a Trevor Brooking.
Yeah, and videos.
Blockbusters.
Renting a video, yeah. Anyway, Gazza goes on to say, however, pitfalls can include photos that are out of date and misleading, reface and weight and lying about age. I just don't get why people put up different pictures. I don't understand that concept. So if you are putting a picture from 5 years ago and you're in better shape and then you turn up and you're 5 years older and 2 stone heavier, what is the point in that? Because surely the person, oh yeah, great, you don't look anything like your picture. Yeah. What is the point?
You're a liar.
In that? Why is the point? I just don't get it.
No, it doesn't set a good example, does it?
I just don't understand the concept. But as I've said on this podcast many times, I always make sure my publicity shots where I don't look amazing. So when people meet me in real life, they go, you're better looking in real life. I try and make them as accurate as possible. Because if you make yourself look amazing and get them photoshopped and all that sort of stuff, you know, get a whole full head of hair back on my head. And
I was going to say, actually, if you were going to do it, I know you don't do it, do you? Nor do I. But if you were going to do it, you should have the drunk one that they always use.
Oh, the drunk one.
Because that's what you'll be like about halfway through the evening.
Do you know what? Someone tweeted me as well, called Intro NW. And I went on, hold on, I'm going to go on their website. I'm not Googling. You don't need to put the jingle in, Mark. No jingle here. I've got to remember my password. Okay, so they went on. I've got it up here now. Intro NW. Intro NW is confidential matchmaking service for professionals in the northwest of England. They've got their own Twitter site.
Blimey, that's like footballers.
Truly personal, where our MD meets every client. Their MD meets every client. I like this site, so I went on there, and she said, "Hi Tim, be positive, honest, mention sociable hobbies."
Well, sorry, have you done some research?
All I did was go onto Twitter and say, any tips? I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. You should try following me on Twitter, Mark. I'm quite good on that. Hi, Tim.
I do.
Be positive, honest, mention sociable hobbies, show you are fun to be with, and use great brackets, up-to-date photos. She knows her stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, I went on her site because I started looking around and it was all dating stuff. So I thought, this is quite interesting.
This is teetering on research.
And I think it's more teetering on theft for material, because one of the things they put up there, which I quite liked, was 10 first date questions. So these are questions that you should use when you're dating someone. To break the ice and to get some conversation.
Blimey, this sounds helpful.
Yeah, so, well,
are we straying away from what we normally do?
Well, I don't know, because I thought I'd ask you them.
Okay.
Well, I'll read them out and we can both answer them. Because this is, we're on a date, Mark. Let's set the scene.
Oh, I hate it when we do this.
We're on a date and it's a nice candle there. I've taken you out. You can't eat, I was going to say Italian, but you don't eat pasta. I've taken you to a nice steak meal, have I? That gaucho place where they've got all the animal skins all over the wall.
Yes.
They come and they bring the steaks to your table. They introduce you to the fella
before they cook it. I don't have to go and cook them myself.
No, they bring them all raw, don't they?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And they say, well, you can have this one or that one or that one. It's quite expensive, but it's a beautiful steak, Mark. We're there and we're having a... So here's some questions for you. Number one, what was the first album you bought? That's a supposed question that you use when you're on a date.
Okay.
What was the first album you bought?
I think that I owned, or I physically went out and bought.
Mark, answer the bloody question. I'm getting bored of this date. I'm going to go home in a minute. First album you bought. It says bought. It doesn't say owned. It says bought.
I'm just going to go to the toilet and text my friend to call me. He said there's an emergency. This is a terrible date. U2, Rattle and Hum.
Oh, terrible. I don't like you. I'm going.
Okay.
Number two, tell me about your tell me about your friends. Asking them something that's not directly about themselves might make them feel more comfortable. Do you think when people go on dates, God, I'd love to know this, if you can let us know. If you've gone on a date and someone's really struggling with conversation, I mean, do people... Mark's looking suspicious there. Right.
No, I was doing this struggling with date. I was looking down.
Oh, right. You're,
I was acting.
You're acting on a podcast. That's good. All right. Tell me about your friends. Asking them something that's not directly about themselves might make them feel more comfortable. Okay. Number three. Invite five people, dead or alive, to a date. This is a question you're going to use whilst you're out dating. Hey, Mark, invite five people, dead or alive, to a dinner party. Who would they be and why? And then it says, a great icebreaker. I prefer the question. Invite five, right, you're going to invite five people, dead or alive, to a dinner party. What would you cook?
What would you cook? Not who they, who would they be?
Yeah, that's a better question.
Is it?
Because it's a joke, Mark. Sorry, I realise you don't have
this.
I'm
not enjoying this date, so I'm missing the nuances of your sense of humour.
You don't have a G-S-O-H. Isn't it terrible? And at the beginning of our date, right, I tell you what, Mark, here's an icebreaker. We're on this date. I'm going to put my hand up every time I tell a joke so you understand where my humour comes in. Okay.
Well, because I'd already had a few people I could list on that thing.
Go on then.
So then I was already there.
Go on then.
And so when you said, what are you going to cook? It stumped me.
Go on then. Who are you going to invite?
John Lennon.
Yeah.
Liam Gallagher, Sandy Toksvig, Richard Osman, and say I've got four.
Yeah.
Have you got five while I think of the last one?
No. No, I'm out. I don't want to hang out with that lot. Right. What's the favourite thing about your hometown? Question number four.
Wow, that's hard because it's not a very remarkable place.
What's on your... Question number five. What's on your bucket list? Get a sneak peep into their dreams.
What's on my bucket list?
Yeah, have you got a bucket list? I would... Sadly, then I would start be going, you don't really want to...
Film in the cinema. Write a film that gets into the cinema.
Really?
Or go to Tokyo.
No, don't have bucket list. Live for now. What's your favourite...
Don't have long-term goals.
Yeah.
That's a little bit short-termist, isn't it?
I'm going to have to think about this.
Because you were basically trying to do down what I was saying.
No, I'm not.
But actually, you don't agree with what you've said.
I do. I think bucket lists are... I'm not convinced bucket lists are a good idea. I think people should not be trying to live in the future. The more I think about this, the more I've got the... I actually talked to Robert Holden about this, that I've got this thing that I do now, which is do nothing, which makes me happier just to live now. And I think a bucket list is just putting a whole... It's just making life messy when you're sitting there going, I wish I could do this. I wish I could have a film in the cinema.
But I'm working towards it. So don't work towards anything.
I just think it's not... It's not a bucket list.
You're basically disagreeing with everything I say.
It's a feisty date. No, I'm not. So that is your.
Is this what you do when you used to go on dates?
Yeah.
Just disagree with everything they say.
Like the fact you used to. I'm still dateable, Mark.
Okay.
I know I'm reaching that age where I'm becoming. You see that shelf there? That's me on there.
Not the top shelf either.
Under the counter. I'm the dirty secret under the counter. Looking for something dirty for the night. Here you go. So, here's Lovejoy. TV Tim. No, what you should do is you should work towards your goal.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but don't have it as a dream. It's just you. That's you.
That's an ideal thing to do.
Can we talk about this off the podcast? But I think I need to educate you about this off the podcast. No, it's like the bucket list just seems to be... It's a bucket of dreams.
Why'd you ask me then?
Because I've been told by Intro NW that it's a good icebreaker. And it has broken the ice because we've got involved in a deeper conversation than we might have done with the sort of five people you invite for dinner. This is getting deeper. I'm gonna do this one day on the bucket podcast. I think I've got to think it through a bit more. I've got to put a bit of
thought into it.
There's something
and have something to back it up with.
There's something which doesn't sit right with having a bucket of dreams in my mind. It's something that feels like you're...
Do you know it's not an actual bucket?
Yeah, but it's a metaphorical bucket, isn't it, of dreams that you've got your bucket of dreams on the side there. And
tell you what I'd like to do with this date, and it rhymes with bucket.
Ooh.
Check, please. Come on, ask me the rest of them over coffee because I'm going soon.
What's your favourite holiday? Are there sun worshippers who loves lying on the beach, or do they prefer an activity holiday? That's a good idea, actually.
Don't have holidays, they're stupid. Don't dream about holidays. Holidays are for idiots. Is that about roughly what you were going to say?
No. No, but I did go on a date once with a girl, and she told me what her dream holiday was, and it put me right off.
What did she say?
I'm not going to tell you.
1830.
I just thought, and I couldn't work it out for ages, and I realised that that's actually a good question, because you can start working out whether you're that's the sort of person you want or something. What's the most ridiculous thing you've spent money on? Question number 7. Question number 8, how do they like to spend their time when they're not working? Great insight into whether they're a couch potato or athletic and always on the go. Number 9, do you like animals? Could be a deal breaker. Who doesn't like animals? I suppose pets, isn't it? Because everyone likes animals, don't they?
Depends if you're eating them or stroking them, doesn't it?
Well, everyone likes animals, don't they? Like, that's why the Blue Planet and all the David Attenborough things are the most popular things on TV. People like them. I suppose it's whether you want a pet in your house. I suppose that's the deal breaker. And what's your all-time favourite book? Whether it's a chick lit, sci-fi or non-fiction, it should get the conversation flowing. Mark, what is your favourite book? Okay, I'll tell you about mine instead then. Can you do that? Talk over me. Let's talk about
you
me.
You do anyway.
Let's
so
talk about me. Mine's Megan Hine, by the way.
Oh, wow. Not Will Storr.
I like Will's book, but Megan Hine's my favourite still. Actually, I don't know. Haemin Suman's is good. I like that. I have all three of them there, actually, and I just look at them every day. Mark, what's your favourite book?
Revolution in the Head.
Oh, what's that? I don't know that.
It's a breakdown of all the Beatles songs.
Is it?
In a lot of depth.
Is it?
How they were recorded, why they were recorded, who wrote them, why they wrote them, what they were about.
Who's your favourite Beatle?
John Lennon.
Why?
It was just, I prefer his songs to McCartney's. I like a lot of McCartney's songs, but I prefer Lennon's.
All right, give me 5 Lennon. Can you do this? I'm not trying to stitch up. Give me 5 Lennon songs. Give me 5 McCartney songs.
Yes, I can, probably.
All right, give me 3.
Okay.
3 Lennons.
Well, Revolution, yeah. Hey Bulldog, and God, there's so many. In My Life. There we go.
Right, 3 McCartneys. Who wrote Yellow Submarine?
I was about to say Yellow Submarine is McCartney.
Yeah.
Back in the USSR is McCartney.
That's not a bad one.
And...
Who wrote Taxman?
Taxman, George Harrison.
Oh, George Harrison's my favourite writer of the Beatles then. He's my favourite Beatle. Yay! Go, George. Anyway, back to this.
That's the hipster's choice.
Is it?
Yeah, all the hipsters choose George Harrison.
Do they?
Yeah.
What else did he write?
He wrote some amazing songs.
Shall I Google it?
Go and look at Google. No, you can. I can put the Google theme tune in now, can't I?
Mark, put the Google theme tune in.
Tim is Googling on the internet, looking for information to fill up his head. To fill up his head, or just to fill up the time. Whoever get the feeling, he's wasting yours and mine. Oh no, no, no.
He wrote Only a Northern Song. He wrote, it's so hard because there's so many that you can't actually think of them.
Right, I'm just getting to it now. He wrote... I'm struggling here because it's... Oh, they put them in alphabetical order. I'm not happy about that. He's written loads, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I can't work out what's Beatles songs and what's his own stuff, though.
We'll read some out and I'll tell you.
I don't care anymore. I Dig Love. Hottest Gong in Town. I Really Love You. I Live for You.
These all sound like...
Wow, look, he's solo. Written so many songs. Hold on, there's some colour coding here. This is really boring, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we should move on.
Should we move on? That was a failed Google attempt, but he's...
Abort.
I'm just going to check that he wrote Taxman, though. Yes, he did. Okay, so listen...
You can tell, because they normally sing them.
Did he sing that?
Of course he did.
I didn't know that.
He's got that sort of voice that's kind of like that.
So my favourite Beatles song is not sung by McCartney or Lennon?
No.
God, I'm so cool.
You're such a hipster.
I'm so cool. I don't even know how cool I am sometimes, Mark. I amaze myself. But that's not without even knowing. It's amazing that... when I discover.
See, if you go
like
on
that.
Dates and just sit there saying, "I'm so cool, I'm so cool."
Is that why I'm single? Hey, listen, that would be my Tinder profile. That would be it. I'm so cool. I like.
Do you know what
Harrison.
Mine would be? Mine would be one line. It would just say, "Must have own eyebrows."
Oh,
not a fan of the shave off and paints.
You're not a fan of that.
Not a fan of the shave off and paints.
Anyway, listen, if you are going on Tinder, you basically your profile, you have to sell a lifestyle. That's what you're doing. So if you're going to put something like I like yoga, travel, and going for walks, what you're saying to a potential partner there is that I want to settle down with you. I want to be a life partner. I'm looking to have a family, that sort of stuff. If you're saying I like clubbing, travel, Netflix, you're saying I like drinking, drugs, and sex. That's what you're basically saying. That's the point you're making. So you got to be careful with what you're saying on there, and that's the sales job you're doing. And when you're reading them, read properly. Don't just look at the picture. Read what they're saying. I think that's how to do it. Be truthful, I think, you've got to do who you are. Don't pretend to be a party animal if you're not, just because you think it's cool, because it won't be. And listen to what people say in their profiles. Sell yourself. Make sure you're not trying to sell truth. That's all it is, truth. And do you have to be funny? I don't know. Do you have to be funny?
If you're not, don't try to be.
If you're a guy or a girl, let us know whether you think that the Tinder profile should be funny, whether that attracts you more to it. By the way, I've just 12 things guys love most about being in a relationship during the holidays has just come up when I was searching that thing. So I have a quick look at this. 1, giving you presents. 2, getting more presents from you and your family.
What?
3,
what is this?
This is 12 things guys love most about being in a relationship during the holidays. This is from Cosmopolitan. So I don't read Cosmo. Do you read Cosmo, Mark? So one
I
thing,
can't say I do.
One thing you would like about being in a relationship is giving the woman a present. Getting more presents from you and your family. Shopping together. That's what guys love about being in a relationship during the holidays is Christmas is shopping together. What?
Yeah, no.
Cuddling in winter. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like a bit of cuddling. Like a bit of cuddling, Mark. I feel uncomfortable talking with you about this. Getting to go ice skating is something that we love. Getting to drink cocoa and watch holiday movies together. That's something
Can
we
I
love
ask
doing.
Who's written this?
Frank.
Mr. Made Up Man.
On. He just says Frank. Frank Cobbler. That's
Cobbler.
What he says.
There we go. Absolute
there's
Cobbler.
There's the hint. Getting to spend days off together. Yes, that's good. Learning about new traditions is something we like doing. Having a plus one for company at holiday parties. Yeah, that's nice. Decorating your tree together. Yeah, that's something I really think about doing. Having someone to help wrap gifts. Yeah, using each other as an excuse to get out of things. Oh, Frank, you let yourself down on the last one.
Frank
yeah.
Cobbler. No, Mr. F. Cobbler.
You don't need to do that. Just be honest. I don't want to come. Right, if you want to tweet us, here's a Twitter address.
If you've got a problem with very little meat, get hold of Tim by sending him a tweet.
@ Tim Lovejoy.
Okay, yeah, it's @ Tim Lovejoy. Before I go into Pearls of Wisdom, I've got another one here from Gary. He says, should I go all out for Christmas and eat for Wales or be mindful about my weight?
I know what you said. I can imagine what you said.
Go on, guess it.
Everything in moderation.
I said mindful of your weight, yeah. I did say that. The idea of being mindful for Christmas dinner, though, amused me a lot. The idea that you could, you know, when people used to say prayers, some of you probably still do say prayers before your Christmas. I like the idea of sitting down going, right, before we eat this Christmas dinner, 10 minutes of meditation, concentrate on the breathing. Let's all meditate before we eat the food. I think that could be a good idea, actually. You've got to be mindful, as the Buddhists always say, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. And the Buddhists also say, kitchen pickers wear bigger knickers. That is one of their famous sayings. My mum used to go to Weight Watchers years ago, and she used to pick up all those stupid sayings and come back and say them. They used to always amuse me. She used to say, kitchen pickers wear bigger knickers. I think the idea of the overeating over Christmas, are you going to overeat, Mark, over Christmas?
I try not to. It's difficult. We have a few days of it. because we have a Polish Christmas and a English Christmas.
What's the difference?
Well, it's on the continent, it's Christmas Eve, isn't it? And in Scandinavia, it's celebrated more Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Eve, the Polish don't eat meat, so it's all fish.
Why?
It's just, I don't know. It's just the way we've done it.
You haven't bothered looking into the reason of it? No?
I can't remember. It's probably religious, isn't it?
I don't know. And so what do you eat on Christmas Eve then?
Herrings for starter. Normally a barsht, which is a beetroot soup. Mushroom pancakes. Then maybe salmon, potatoes, Russian salad.
Sounds good. Sounds nice. Actually, the food I had when I was in Russia was delicious. I had some amazing food when I was over there. But my friend lived there, so he took me to all the really cool places. Sort of like a Georgian cafe once and all sorts. So it's amazing food I had when I was out there. okay, so the idea of binging on food over Christmas, only to regret it all in January, just seems sort of strangely mad to me. I just think that if you're going to make yourself feel terrible in January, then just don't do it. Just eat something nice, but don't overdo it. I get the feeling that at Christmas we're marketed to massively, not only with all the presents and everything, but also there's just those weird things that people say they have to get for Christmas, like the chocolate orange. Do you know? The chocolate orange that you never buy all year round.
I like stuff marketed that all year round is just normal. For example, one of my vices is dry roasted peanuts, KP dry roasted peanuts. Yeah. And they just come in a bag normally. But at Christmas, they're in a little round tub and they've got holly leaves on them. And you go, Christmas nuts. Yeah, a bit of Christmas nuts.
Better have some of those. Yeah, they put Christmas decorations on things, don't they? And then you think you better buy it.
Cling film.
And there's the big box of chocolates that no one has.
The tin, the Quality Street and the roses.
And the reason why people don't have them is people don't want that choice. We think we want choice, but we don't want choice because if we want chocolate with toffee in it, we buy chocolate with toffee in it. If we want chocolate with orange cream center, we buy that. But you know, then at Christmas you get an assorted lot, and you know, some people like some of them, some people don't. There's a reason why we don't like
I'm lucky. I like all the ones that no one else likes.
Do you?
Orange cream, strawberry creams.
There's those funny red plants that people buy. What are those things called?
Poinsettias.
That's it. Why do they buy those at Christmas?
Because it's the colours of Christmas, isn't it? Red and green.
How long do they last?
I don't know. I'm not a horticulturist.
And then you're also told that they always give you the feeling. I remember this one year because I was doing a rubbish Christmas. I was a bit sad and I wasn't feeling it. So I just bought food for Christmas dinner. And then I was thinking, ugh, just survive on whatever I've got in the house for Boxing Day. And then I realised that all shops open.
Oh, yeah.
But they
only, they close Christmas Day.
They sort of lull you into thinking, the shops are closed for a month. I better stock up and get all this food.
It's because you don't want to go out, isn't it? That's the thing. Because if you have family and stuff over, it's for convenience. But they do make you feel that it's like Armageddon.
You can buy out enough food for just 2 days. So, yeah, that's right. That's what they make you feel like. I just don't think... I just think, don't overdo it. Start the process at the shops. When you're at the shops and you think, do I really need all this food? No, I don't. So just don't buy it. You know what I always say, Mark? You can't snack if you don't have any snacks. That's a Buddhist saying I got once, and I've stuck with it. As you know, in my house, there is nothing to snack on.
Snack free.
There is nothing, though, is there?
No.
Because if there was, I'd eat it.
Yeah.
So I don't buy it, and then I can't eat it. It's the same theory. As not sticking a cigarette in your mouth, you can't smoke. If you don't have any snacks in the house, you can't eat them.
If you never want a snack again.
So don't do that. The kids aren't happy, but there's always fruit in my house they can eat.
And woo!
There is. They always do that thing. They come... I love it. My kids always do this thing. They go into my house and they open the fridge door and then the look of disappointment on their faces, they just go... Oh. As they realise
there's one florid of broccoli.
There's always just food to eat. There's vegetables and proteins and stuff, but there's never any snacks. So, but always remember, though, buy lots of crisps because it is Christmas. So I've convinced Jamie that she's getting crisps, by the way.
Have you? You've carried that on after the podcast. Oh, man.
She's not happy. She's not happy because I was messing about with Grayson Rose the other day. I said, yeah, I'm getting you crisps for Christmas. She goes, it's Christmas, Daddy. I'm going, no Christmas. That's what it is. You get crisps. And twin number two said to me the other day, have you got me a present yet for Christmas? And I went, yeah, I have bought her a present. And she said to me, what is it then? I said, I'm not telling you. She goes, is it crisps? I am definitely going to get this from Chris because I think that's
You could really ruin all holidays. You could say it's Happy Yeaster and just only have
yeast.
Bread.
Yeast. All right, listen, do you want some post wisdom, life hacks, things they didn't teach you at school?
Yay! Woo!
TV team in the house! Life hacks, life hacks. Pearls of wisdom, don't let life mug you off, mug.
Okay, you know the deal now. Mark sends me three words during the week and then I have to try and dig deep and come up with some...
How did you find it this week?
Hard.
Yeah?
They're three tough things
again. So I should cut you a little bit of slack this week?
Yeah, go on.
Okay.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to give me some more or something. No,
I'm
going to
cut
okay.
you a bit. I can't cut it until you've...
The first one is twin. And this is actually good advice. But
I was quite pleased when that came up because you've got twins, so hopefully this will be a good one.
Yeah, it is actually. If you have twins, never compare them to each other. It's hard, but they're individual people. And that was advice given to me when I first had twins. I met a girl twin who was an old twin. She was in her 30s or something. And she said to me, you've got twins. She goes, I'll give you one piece of advice. She said, she was an actress actually, but she'd spent all her life being told that her sister was the creative one. And her sister eventually had a job in an office doing something where she ended up on stage.
Right.
And she said, but I felt all the time that I wasn't
trying
the creative one. Yeah.
You were also creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
can say that.
It's really hard not to compare them to each other. But if you do ever have twins, don't compare them. It's just, they are individual people. They're sisters more than twins. However, I do spend a lot of my time saying to them, remember, you're only half a person.
Wow. Wow.
And I also call them twinnies when I'm angry with them because they hate being called twins. They absolutely hate it. And what's so funny is their teachers still can't tell them apart and it just drives them nuts. They get really offended by it.
You
now,
tested me the other day.
I test all my friends. And
I wasn't, because she came in and she sort of went straight to the cupboard. And so I said, oh, hello, mate, because I couldn't see. And then you went, Mark, which one is that? And I got it right. You looked a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, but you've got 50-50 chance of getting it right.
Yeah, but that 50-50 is quite offensive. If you get it.
Yeah, but do you actually know the difference in them?
I can tell now.
Do you reckon?
I can tell
do
now.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah,
do
yeah.
You?
Yes, I can actually.
My mate Phil walks in the room and he always walks in the room. He goes, Grace. And then one of them turns around and goes, okay, I know which one's which now.
Yeah, that's quite a good technique.
That's it. He attacks them first rather than waiting to see who it is. Most people can't tell them apart. They're sort of used to it now. I feel sorry for them in that way. But they do want to be, if you have a twin, they want to be treated as individuals. The next one is sickness. Now, it's that time of year when you get a lot of colds and sort of bugs, flu-y bug type things. Remember, there is no shortcut to healing the common cold. Your body is working very, very hard on behalf of you to cure it. It's going to take a good week or so to do it. What you need to do is just help your body out. It needs calories, it needs fluids, it needs warmth, and most importantly, it
Netflix.
Needs sleep. No, Mark, sleep, not Netflix. When you are asleep, when your body is asleep, as Mir Kreiger taught us, that is when your body does its work. So try and get as much sleep as possible. Get yourself in bed. Your body, if you start going out and having a lot of Christmas cheer, going down the pub and stuff, your body can't heal whilst it's doing that. And it needs to be fighting the virus. So if you're going out, it's fine to do it, but you've got to do that calculation. When people go, oh my God, I've had this cold for like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Like, well, yeah, what have you been doing? I've been out every night. Your body can only
three
heal.
Weeks a cold. That doesn't sound. That's more like Lyme's disease, I think, isn't it?
People do it though. They're like, oh, I've had this sore throat, but I've been out and I've been working.
Have you ever done when you were younger and you used to maybe drink a bit more and you had a cold and you start drinking and it goes away and you go, oh, this is amazing, and then you
wake up the next morning,
it's back,
and you wake up the next day feeling even worse.
It is amazing what. The short-term thing that booze can do, isn't
alcohol,
it? When it takes it away, it's so bad.
It is. I think as a society, we should start not liking people going out with a cold.
They should be shunned.
Yeah, I think if you do have a cold, I would have never done this. You know, they wear those sort of operating masks. They do it sometimes in certain countries when they've got a cold to stop trying to spread it. And it's become, that's their social norm. Maybe we should start doing that. But
just with a little hole for a straw.
I find it weird when I'm on the tube and I'm stood next to somebody and they've got a really stinking cold. Yeah. I'm like, oh God, I don't want to get this cold. And every time you go out, you're just facing that when you go to, do you know what happened?
At a supermarket the other day.
Is Sainsbury's sponsoring
this? No. A supermarket the other day, and the cashier coughed all over my food.
What did you do?
It was still in packets, but you just go, I mean, it's going to make it a bit eggy if I say something. I'm going to
wash
it when I get home.
In the workplace, we're so stupid. Humans are so stupid. In the workplace, we go, you must come in. You know, if you're ill, you've still got to come in. And then you're going to make everybody else ill. It should be as soon as you've got any form of feeling ill, you should stay at home.
The pressure at workplaces now to prove that you're ill. Do you know when you call up and...
Especially if you're a man. Man flu.
Don't.
Yeah, you don't like that, do you? No, nor do I. I wrote some sketches on that once many moons ago. But the thing is, you should... You know, I was in a shop the other day and some bloke started serving me. And he was like, he was so bogged up. He was sort of speaky like that. And I left the shop because I thought, you're going to start passing me these clothes and I'm going to catch your disease. I don't want to. Why are you in a shop?
It's not a disease. It's an ill.
Is cold not a disease?
I don't really think it. You did class cold? We can't have another burst of the Google.
I'm going to attempt to Google it. It's up to you whether you put the jingle in or not.
I don't think people want to hear that.
The cold a...
Maybe it is. Not a virus.
Viral infectious disease.
Okay. I take it back. Lovejoy.
The upper respiratory tract. Oh, TV Tim's got it right. Woo.
How long are we going to hear about this for?
The common cold. Though, is it dead? Is a virus dead?
Hey, have you had your flu jab?
No, I've never had a flu jab. What are they? I know what they are.
I mean, what does it sound
like? I know what they are, but does have you had one?
Well, I was recommended by my doctor to have one.
Why?
Because I had to go in about another complaint, and he said, if you have those two together and there's a strain coming over from Australia, it would probably kill you. True.
What?
There's a strain coming over from Australia.
That can kill you?
He said it's killed a load of people in Australia, and if it comes over here...
What, the common cold?
No, the flu. Oh. As in the flu jab.
Right. What, there's a strain of flu coming over from Australia that's killing
deadly.
Us?
Yeah. That's why they're going big on the flu jab at the moment.
Does this doctor write for a tabloid? What?
He's a very good doctor.
Is he?
Yeah.
Doctors bury their mistakes. That's what my granddad used to say. Oh, I'm not going to the doctors. Doctors bury their mistakes.
Was that a joke?
No.
Because, I mean, that literally, you do...
No, that's what my granddad used to say. It's not a joke at all. He used to go, oh, I don't want to go to the doctors. They bury their mistakes, Tim.
Is that where you get it from?
I just think that's really funny when he used to say that. Oh, brilliant. So I'm now at risk of dying from an Australian flu.
Quite possibly.
I'm not sure I believe this.
Not more Google.
Australian flu.
Deadly.
Deadly. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Britain faces worst flu epidemic in 50 years. Here we go. The Sun. That was in October.
Yeah, that's when
Mum
I had
of two
it.
Dies of deadly Aussie flu heading to Britain. What do you mean he's heading to Britain? Yeah, but she died in Australia.
It's on a long haul flight. It's got to take some time to get here.
What is Aussie flu? Here we go. It's not. I'm not.
Probably sound like that's probably the thing for like a hangover, like a euphemism for hangover. Got the old Aussie flu, mate.
I've not. Okay, the Aussie flu is headed for the UK. By the way, these are... Oh, no! There's somebody at the door. We've never had this before.
At the door.
All the podcasts we've done, we've never had someone. I'll tell you what we'd have to do, because I've got to go and answer. We'll stop it. We'll play a game. Who's at the door?
Okay.
When we come back. Pause it, Mark. So we're back. Who is at the door is the new competition that's sweeping the nation. Was it the postman? No. Was it the milkman? No one has a milkman these days, do they?
Yes, they do.
Was it the post? Did I say postman? Yeah. Was it? Who else knocks at your door?
Paramedic.
Was it the paramedic? No. Paramedics?
It was just
Hong Kong Fooey.
Was it Hong Kong Fooey? He's joining in on the podcast. No, it was Mark from Leon C who's arrived to fix the neon light, Mark. How bad do you feel?
I'm reliving my shame all over again. Thanks, Tim, and thanks, Mark.
He's come to fix it, so we're watching him now fix it, which is very exciting. Says it's.
I am pleased you're getting it done before Christmas. I feel slightly less bad about it.
Oh, really?
Well, no, I mean, not much, like 10% less bad.
That's Where were
a,
we
that
anyway?
Was a great
we,
sentence.
Mark was just explaining how we're all going to die from Australian flu. That is, I think we'll leave that there. I've looked it up, and I just don't know. With all these things, they always say we're going to die of everything, and then I don't know.
But you always say, yeah, don't you? You should listen to experts.
Do I?
Yeah.
Have I ever said that?
No, but people who know what they're talking about.
Mate, I've just told you. Doctors bury their mistakes.
No, that's what your granddad said. Anyway, what's your next pearl of wisdom?
My final word is dramatic.
Okay.
It's not what happens to you. It's how you deal with it. Don't be a dramatic fool. By the way, I have been dramatic most of my life, but dramatic fool probably most of my life. I've only just learned to be calm. You know, it's good for this because it's true. It's not about what happens. It's about how you deal with it. Obviously. Megan Hines, very good with this. God. Great book to buy some for Christmas, wow. By the way. It's really good because she teaches you on acceptance, teaches you about acceptance, should I say. And so she's very good at that. Look, I'll give you a quick example of this, how to deal with it. Okay, so let's say, for example, there's something you love. Say it's something that's expensive. Say it's a one-off. No one else can buy.
Oh,
let's say that
this is incredible because this was you didn't know this was happening, did you? That now, Mark was coming to fix it. And
now
you're
let's
gonna,
say your you're friend, gonna... Mark. Please let me finish. Now let's say your friend, your good friend, someone you work with, breaks it by accident. Now let's say it was a neon light, right? Don't be dramatic about it. Just realize that it was an accident, and you know it can be fixed.
You know it's going to be fixed by the next podcast we do, don't you?
Yeah.
Is it still going to keep coming up?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I think there's slight pressure here.
Mark says he feels pressure. Pressure. Better look good, Mark. Yeah. Better look like the original. He did come in and say it looked nice, though, didn't he?
He did. He was very complimentary about it.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it for this week's podcast. Next week, tune in and we'll play Who's at the Door? Only if someone... I can't believe, actually, we've done this many podcasts. 52, 53 podcasts or something?
53 now.
53 podcasts, and that's the first time anyone's knocked at the door whilst we've been doing it.
Yeah.
So it was exciting. It was the best bit of the podcast this week.
Oh, I think it was.
If you want to write to us, the email address is dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Tim Lovejoy. You can subscribe to us and rate us.
Don't rate us on this one, maybe.
I don't know. I think we did all right. If you learned how to do dating profiles this week. You learned about how to cure yourself of sickness, how to get a flu jab. What else did we learn? That was it, really, wasn't it? We didn't get through too much. Anyway, we'll see
how
you
how to
all
make
next
someone
week.
Feel really bad about a really, really sorry mistake.
We'll see you. We'll see you all next week. Goodbye. And remember, peace and love, joy.
Bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.